Good morning. I'm going to invite the ushers to come down with the Bibles right now because we're going to start by reading the parable of the talents. Are they kind of ready for that? So if you raise your hand as they come down, they can give you a Bible if you don't have one today. And we treasure the Word of God. It is powerful, and I believe it's transforming. And so if this Bible works for you and you don't have one to use, then please take this with you as our gift. So I don't know how many of you are surprised I'm up here. I am, because as of Monday, I wasn't going to be here. But if you haven't noticed, God's been doing stuff at our church. Amen? And He's doing stuff in me. And so as He kept bringing up this passage to me, and have you ever had that where a passage keeps coming up, a story? And so I felt like God was talking to me about it, and I shared it with the pastors, and they invited me to share it today. Well, I'm going to start by doing something we sometimes do at my house. I'm going to invite my family up, and we're going to read this parable, and we're going to act it out as we do it. Have any of you guys ever done that? A couple of you? All right. Now, I'm going to ask you girls, could you scoot over just a little bit, because I need them to line up right here. All right? So when we do this, sometimes we use props that we just find around our house, and sometimes we just imagine props. But, you know, we were up here, so we slicked it up a little, and here we go. So we need four different people for this parable. So I'm going to be the master. And then I have three servants. And so I'm going to tell the story and they're going to help me. So Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. And he said, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants. Come here, servants. And here they come. And entrusted his property to them. Now he's giving them what I'm going to call a gold coin or a talent. I looked up what a talent was worth. It was worth a lifetime's worth of wages. How much you would earn your whole life working was one talent, okay? So he goes to the first servant, and he gives him not one, but he gives him five. One, whoa, two, three, four, five. What we might consider $5 million. He goes to another servant and gives her two. And he goes to another servant and gives him one. Now, the first thing I notice is they don't all get the same, do they? Is five the same as two? That seems important. Let's remember that, all right? So then the master went on his journey. So I'm going to go over here. I'm going, where do you think I'm going? Hawaii, maybe? All right. I'm on a journey. Then the man who had received the five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. Ooh. So also, the one with two talents went and gained two more. She's working hard, putting it to work. There it is, two more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. How many of you put your money in the dirt, in the ground? Any of you guys? I don't really keep my money. I keep it like in a wallet or something. Okay. So that's kind of different. Okay. After a long time, it's been a long time, I come back. The master of the servants returned and settled accounts with them. To the man who had received, The man who received five talents came and said, Master,
Master,
I lost my place. You entrusted me with five talents.
You entrusted me with five talents.
See, I have gained five more.
See, I have gained five more.
His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will entrust you with many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Now, the one with two talents came. She said, Master.
Master.
You entrusted me with two talents.
You entrusted me with two talents.
See, I have gained two more.
See, I have gained two more.
His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will entrust you with many things. Come and share in my master's happiness. Now, did you see any similarity between what the master said to this guy and this one? Was it really different? It was basically the same thing. But wait a minute. He had five more, and she only got two more. Those are different, aren't they? Isn't five more than two? They doubled it, right? So even though he gained five more and she gained two more, they got the same reward. That's pretty exciting because I thought, hey, this is unfair that she only got two. Didn't that seem unfair? But God gave this, or the master gave the same reward to the one who got two more than the one who got five. Well, now let's see what this guy did. Are you curious about this? All right. I got to turn the page for you. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said.
Master?
I knew that you are a hard man. Harvesting what you have not sown. And gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. And went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. You wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest what I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put the money on deposit in a bank so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So I want to talk about this. If he had put it in a bank, he would have gotten interest. These people, somebody said they doubled it, right? She had two, she got two more. If you put it in a bank, you're not going to get double, but you're going to get a bit more. Yeah, people are laughing. But you're going to get a little more, like a part of a talent. That's what this little part is. So he didn't even do that. He didn't even put it in the relatively safe place of the bank. And so this is what the master said. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not good news for that guy. So we're looking at this, and it's the master entrusted all of them with differing amounts, right? But those who invested it and doubled it, he was pleased with them equally, right? Very pleased. But the master was not pleased with the one who did nothing. Wow. Well, thank you. You guys can sit down now. Thank you to my family. Well, you know, I think that this parable reminds me of my relationship with God. All right? And let's say that God is like the master and we're like the servants. And just like the master entrusted property to his servants, God entrusts us with property. And I started wondering, what might that property look like? So I put some in my box. This says property of God. So, you guys are going to help me. Maybe this will give us some ideas of some of the things God has put us each in charge of. What has he given you? What's this?
Money.
Just like it said in the parable, God entrusts us with money. He puts us in charge of money. Now, some of us have more than others, but we all have something, right? What would this represent? It's a clock. Does God give us clocks? He gives us time, right? We all are given time. We're all given our life. And God wants us to be in charge of our time. What about this? Our strength. Somebody over here got it. God gives us our strength and our effort, and we're put in charge of that. Now, I'm going to show a few more things, but I want to emphasize here, a lot, we get some measure of this, all of us, but some of these we don't get, and some other people do, because we're all different in what God gives us. But it's very valuable. What is this for? Graduation cap. I put this in here because we're given maybe intelligence, but also training and education, and God puts us in charge of that. What about these? What do you do with those? Who has somebody in their family who's really good with that? Yeah. Yeah, so you can fix stuff, you can design stuff, you can maintain stuff. If you maintain it, sometimes you don't have to fix it, right? So those are some kinds of skills that God puts us in charge of. What about this?
Cooking
and baking. Baking's my favorite, right? So some people have the gift, the talent of making food. What about these? Can any of you color or draw? Do you ever give your drawings away to people to encourage them? Maybe to give them a birthday present? That's a way that God's gifted us, sometimes to inspire people. Does she have markers? Her mom has markers. That's awesome. All right. What? Music. Dancing. Yes, singing. Can any of you sing? Yes. All right. All right. So those things, God puts us in charge of those kinds of things. What about this? What do you do on the phone? Okay, everybody says talk, but you do more than talk. But talking can be a gift. You know, people can make people feel at home by talking to them and get to know them. Some of us are talking right now. What else do you do on the phone besides talk? Listen. This is a regular phone. No games. Listen. Do you know that listening to someone can make them feel better? It would make me feel better right now. So we can listen to people. Have you ever had a rough day and somebody listened to you and it felt better? What about these things? Yeah, helping people who are hurt. And you know what? That isn't just physically hurt. Sometimes people, their hearts hurt. She does that for you? All right, mine's empty because I've been using it so much. It's summer, you know. What about a clipboard?
Writing.
That's a great gift. Also, being in charge, leading, making things get organized. And then I put in here, too, this is a Spanish-English dictionary. It can be a gift to know more than one language. Does anyone know more than one language? Fabulous. That can be a real talent. So God gives us and puts us in charge of all these things. But why? Why did God give you all this amazing stuff? Well, in the parable, it's all about building up the kingdom of God. Right? The kingdom of God is kind of a big idea. So I like to put it this way today. The kingdom of God is where God gets his way, where his will is done. All right? So I want you to think about what you know about Jesus. What was it like when Jesus got his way? What kind of things happened? Any ideas? Did people get healed sometimes?
Yeah.
Sometimes when God gets his way, people get healing in their bodies, in their hearts, in their heads. Right? Huh? Yeah. Sometimes when Jesus taught, people would learn about God. Sometimes when God gets his way, people learn about him and come to know him. I would say that Jesus was really good at taking people who felt like they didn't belong and giving them a place to belong, making them friends. So then I wonder if we could use some of what he's entrusted to us to help him get his way. You know, maybe we could help people who know another language know more about God, or maybe we could feed people, or we could listen to people, or we could inspire people, or we could help them with their healing using the different gifts God gave us to pray for people. Maybe we could encourage people, or maybe we could fix their stuff, right? Serve them in that way. Maybe we could help organize things or teach people things we've learned. There's all kinds of ways that what God has put in you that you can use to bless people and to have God have his way. So to help you remember that, I'm going to give you some property. And actually, I need an adult to help with this. And I don't know if the people are ready to receive the kids. Yeah, we're giving the high sign. Okay. Because we're going to pass out these coins as a reminder to you that God has given you very valuable gifts, every one of you, to use to increase his kingdom, right? So God has his way. And as you're talking about it, I'll say, I think the first place God has his way is in our hearts. So, and in our homes. Very good. Excellent. All right. Well, I wanted to talk to the grown-ups for just a second. And I wanted to say, in your bulletin, there's a half sheet. And there's a question for you. And as we're talking with the kids about the different things that God maybe has invested in them, I ask you, what has God given you? What property has he entrusted you with? You know, your time, your resources, your gifts, your talents. What has God put in you to build up the kingdom? It's very valuable. When we think about it, he talked about how it was worth a lifetime's earnings. And I would say, where are you investing your life? All right. Well, when we're ready, are we ready? Okay, we're ready. You can stand up if you've received your coin, and you can be excused. Thank you very much. We pray blessings on you guys. So if we're the servants of God, and we invest what God's given us, what's the payoff? I mean, you shouldn't really say that. That's kind of rude. But there seems to be a reward in this parable, right? So I want to look at each of the servants. And first I want to look at the servant who invested five and received five. All right? Yeah, here we are. So the first thing that the master said to him was, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, but there's something inside of me that loves to hear "well done." You know, I love to please. I like to please people. I like to please myself. And I think that part of that is good, to want to please God. Now, I know that I have received salvation through Jesus Christ. It's by grace through faith that I'm accepted by God. And so what I do doesn't really change any of that. But it's good, I think, to want to live a life that's pleasing to God. That when I meet him face to face, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I think that's quite a reward to look forward to. As we invest the things that God's entrusted to us, that we could hear that. The next thing I want to talk about, he said, "Come and share in the master's happiness." Now, I've noticed in my life, I have chased happiness. I've tried to find out what would make me happy. And I remembered a time when Hannah was younger, and she had wanted a roller skating Barbie. You can put the picture up. Yes. Because she was sure if she had a roller skating Barbie, she'd be happy, right? Now, did anyone ever get a roller skating Barbie? They don't roller skate. They do this. And it's not very thrilling. There isn't the wind going through her hair or anything. And I thought, how many things have I thought I wanted in my life that would make me happy that ended up to be a roller skating Barbie? Maybe I thought, you know, I need a new job, or I need a new relationship, or I need a break. Maybe I need that dream vacation. I have gone on vacations and actually not been happy because I brought the unhappy with me. I don't know if anyone's ever had that. And so I find that I don't really have a consistent source of happiness when I'm chasing happy. But I look at this and I think there's a glimpse of where happiness might really come from. Not in pleasing myself, not trying to get everything, all the more stuff that I think I need or more experiences. But maybe the real satisfaction and joy that God wants us all to have comes from investing what he's given me into furthering his kingdom. And to him having his way first in my heart and then in the hearts of those around me, that I would show people more of what God is by how I act and what I say. And I believe this is true. And I believe even as we're spending ourselves in service to God, we can really experience joy. And I was just talking to Matt Swear this week, and I was supposed to be on the worship team today, but plans changed, and I told him I was going to miss it. And we were both talking about how much joy and satisfaction we get out of being on the worship team. Even though the half hour you see here takes hours of preparation and hard work. Because there's a joy that comes from spending ourselves. Probably people who served with the Mellencrandles this week. There was a joy that came with that, even though that was hard work. And so I think that I at least have to remind myself, what makes me really happy is not always doing what I feel like doing or makes me comfortable. But doing what God shows me to do, investing what he's put in me to further his kingdom. And so come and share in the master's happiness. I actually think that Chad, in what he was saying, talked a lot about that in those verses he was reading, didn't he? And I would add one. Jesus said, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." He uses that in my life over and over again. When we make a new life decision, I sometimes think, gosh, I'm throwing everything away. I'm considering everything rubbish if I take this path I think God's giving me. But then I realize there's this life and energy and joy I never would have known. For me in my life, it was really hard to choose to homeschool. I was really afraid of it. But when I chose to do it, and then I chose not to do a lot of other things, I will never regret that time I spent with my kids. God knew that was the right thing for me. Because sometimes I don't know what's going to make me happy. I'm sure all the men are going, yeah. Sometimes they don't know. But sometimes we don't know what's going to make us happy. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And so as we invest ourselves in the kingdom, I believe we're going to find joy. The last thing he said is, "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And I think that this has some sense of what happens in the hereafter. And some scholars talk about that. But I've actually seen this principle at work here. As I have invested what little God's given me, he's given me more to invest back in the kingdom. Now, when I first moved here, I couldn't really play guitar. I was just learning how to sing, and I just started leading worship with small groups and the women's groups. And as I stepped out and gave, you know, invested in that, I feel like God gave me more. And I think there's other areas of life where he's done that for me. For example, why in the world am I standing here? But as he's given me opportunities, as I have tried to invest what he's given me. And so as I've taken that little bit and stepped out to the edge of it and tried to invest what he's put me in charge of, I think God gives us more so we can do even more. And so that's another one of the rewards, being put in charge of more things. Now we come to the man with two talents. And I love this guy because here he is. He sees this guy's getting five and he only gets two. And instead of saying, well, gosh, he's got everything. He can take care of it all. Why do I even have to do anything? He actually invests. Because I'll say sometimes I have been the person who has two talents, and I look at the person with five, and I think, I'm not needed. I really don't have to offer. I know there's a lot of people who could do this better. I mean, I could name people right now today who could do this better than me. But God called me to invest what I have. And I think, when we look at what we don't have and we compare, it hurts our hearts. And God isn't asking us to invest what we don't have. He's only asking us to be faithful to invest what we do have. And so we need to look at ourselves. And I think it's really this wonderful thing about God. He's not expecting me to do something I'm not. He's not expecting me to be quiet. You know, he knows what's in my package. And so I really enjoy the fact that he is just saying, Jerry, invest what you have. And so again, I ask you, what has God entrusted you with? What you have is valuable. It's worth many lifetimes' earnings, right? What has God put in you? And would you be willing to offer that? And not compare it to someone else who maybe you think has more. I have this quote that I read. I get quotes of the day emailed to me. And this one says, too many people overvalue what they are not and undervalue what they are. So often we look and we say, oh, he does that so well. I could never do that. Or she's so good at that. I could never do that. Well, let's not do that today. Let's instead say, you know what? What has God put in me and am I using it? Because I think that's more the question. And we bless people. We say, you're so good at that. I just love it when you do that. But then we know that God has put valuable things in us. So now I look at the man with one talent. This didn't go so well. The man with one talent buried it. And he says why he did it. He says, I knew that you are a hard man. And I think this is where our view of God can really affect whether or not we offer. And Brenda's thing was so on, right on. She said a verse I was even going to say. And so God really wants us to get this. Because I thought Dave talked about this last week. He said, you know, how we view God affects how we behave. It is so important how we view God. And if we view him as hard, and I looked up that word, and it has the sense of being rough, violent, harsh, and demanding. If we see God that way, we might be afraid. We might be afraid to step out. But how is God really gracious, full of grace and mercy, forgiving, compassionate, understanding what it's like to be a person, right? Slow to anger, abounding in love, overflowing with love. And so I think about it, and I think, well, what if you step out because you think God wants you to try to invest your talent and it doesn't go well? And you fail, then what? And I think about Peter, who stepped out and tried to walk on the water, right? And he began to sink. And I love that the Bible says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and pulled him out. And he said, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And he kind of has this teaching moment with him. But he's immediately there with him. And we see that this was only part of the process of Peter's life, right? Fast forward a while, and he is standing before thousands of people at Pentecost preaching to them. So when we fail, that's just part of the process of us understanding how to invest our gifts. And sometimes we fail on the outside, but God, he looks at the heart, and it's not a failure at all. I don't think it's ever a failure to go do what you believe God told you to do. I just have this test. I make sure it's not illegal, unbiblical, or immoral. And then if I'm safe there, then I go for it. And so how we see God is going to really affect how we're willing, if we're willing to take that small risk and invest. And so then I also look at how the master answered, it would have been better for you to put it in a bank. And I thought, you know what? I think maybe my lesson from that is, Jerry, sometimes it's just better to do something than nothing. You know, and if you're not quite sure, why not take a small, low-risk step? Because I see a bank, if you look at all the kinds of investments you could have chosen to make, it's one of the lower risks ones, right? And so what if we took a small step in investing something God's put in us? I'm hoping today, I'm praying that some of you have something in mind that God's been kind of stirring up in you, that he wants you to take a step. Maybe it's something like Anne Merlino was talking about children's ministry. Maybe that's a step that you've been thinking, maybe I should take that. Maybe it's something in another area of your life. But I encourage us all to think about doing something rather than nothing, right? And so I guess my last idea with this that God's been using, because again, he's been teaching me and I'm just sharing you what I think he's showing me. And one of them was looking at life this way helps me sort my priorities and my choices and my decisions. Because I have really been struggling with my time and where does my time go? Because I have lots of opportunities and lots of different things I'd like to do. And maybe a few of you feel that way as we're going into fall and we're setting up schedules. And I felt like God was saying, you know, Jerry, what if instead of trying to please other people, you live trying to please me? What if instead of trying to chase happiness, you trust that if you obey me, I'm going to bring the happiness? And what if instead of living for myself, I try to invest in the kingdom of God, you know, and it kind of actually helped, which shows that I had my thinking a little wrong because I looked at this and I thought, what investment can I make that's going to make the biggest kingdom impact? And so now I'm looking at three areas of my life. I'm looking at what small investments I can make in my inner life. I think the kingdom of God starts right here in my heart. And so if you wanted to do this, I would encourage you to look, what investments are you making? It's hard to share the knowledge and love of God if we're not receiving it. And for me, that happens in Bible study and prayer and private worship. And so I would ask you, is God calling you to make a small investment, some time maybe, into having that inner life, that investment there? Another area of my life, I'm calling my private life, and that's more my inner circle of people, those relationships that you all don't get to see all the time. And I think one of my first areas of responsibility is in my marriage. I married my husband, we are one, and I think that I need to be investing in the kingdom coming in his life. I need to be encouraging and supporting him. And so how can I use my box of property God's given me to do that? And so I might pray through that. And then I look at my kids and I think, like it or not, we're really influential in our children's lives. And we have an opportunity window when we're really there. And I don't know, mine might be slipping away. I'm not sure because my kids are 12 and 14. And so how can I invest what God's given me in their lives so that the kingdom comes in our hearts, in their hearts, and they know God's way? Then I look at, beyond that. And maybe you have a different group of people who are your inner circle, depending upon your season of life. Then I've been looking at my public life. And you know, once I fill in everything else, I've got like this much time here and this much time here to invest in those kinds of things. But some of us live more out there in the public, which would be the workplace, the church, the community. What investments is God calling us to make of our resources in those places? For me, this today was one of the places I chose to invest my resources and share and let God have his way. And so I'm trying to obey my message even while I'm doing it. And so I leave you with that, and I ask you to consider it and maybe use the sheet that I put in the bulletin, not so much right now, but maybe if you took a little packet of time this week and asked yourself those questions, that would be a way to really get more out of what we're talking about today, because it's kind of a hard thing to do just while we're sitting here. But I'm going to invite Matt and Jason up, and we're going to sing that song, Jesus, All for Jesus, again, because I think it says what I'm talking about today. All that we have, all that he's entrusted to us is for God, is for Jesus. And are we willing to acknowledge that? And right now, maybe make that heart decision. You know what? I'm going to agree with that, that this is for you. And I want to offer it to be used, to be invested in your kingdom. And so I'll give you this moment to do that, and then I think Pastor Ken will come up and give us some direction for the ministry time. And I guess I'm going to pray a minute. Lord, I just thank you that we've had this time here to celebrate that you have invested valuable things in every single one of us, Lord. And I pray even now you draw up some of those things. Some of us have been rejected and hurt in our lives, and I pray, Lord, that you would heal that, and that we would see what are the valuable things you've put in us. And then I pray that you would help us to see where you might have us invest those. Right now, what's the next step? I just ask that you give us the grace to obey you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.